and render service to Him. So this evening we will read some verses from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. We can read a few verses actually from this chapter. Let us begin from the beginning. Tasyapi Bhagavani Sha Saksha Brahma Mayo Hari Amsham Shena Chatur Dagat Putratvam Praritita Surai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Samgyaya. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. So Lord Ram is Krishna, Lord Lakshman is His expansion, Balaram, He is Balaram, and then Bharat and Shatrughna, they are expansions from Lakshman or from Lord Balaram. This is who they are. Tasyanu charitam rajan rishibis tatvadarshipi shrutam hi varnitam buri tvaya sita patir muhu. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. And Srila Prabhupada gives a fairly somewhat extensive purport to this verse. The point is about the importance of hearing. He says, Shukadeva Goswami himself says, please listen. He is appealing to Maharaj Parikshit, to his audience, that you please listen. This is of very great value, very great importance, and extremely beneficial to hear these subject matters of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as they are, as they actually are, in truth. Therefore he says here, Rishibis Tattva-darshipi. We should hear from the Tattva-darshi. Darshan, of course, we know, I think the great majority of us are familiar with this term. Darshan means to see, to have that vision, particularly of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is Tattva Darshi. So Darshan means to see. Darshi means one who sees, one who has darshan. And tattva means true. So we should hear from those who are tattva darshi, those who have seen the truth, heard the truth, and then simply represent that truth. true. So, Shukadev Goswami is doing that here in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, these verses which we will read this evening. And then Srila Prabhupada is presenting it faithfully to us, and like this, we can also benefit, just as Maharaj Pariksit benefited when he listened carefully. However, there are others who are not tattvadarshi, but they try to present these subject matters. They themselves are confused. They do not understand who is Lord Ram, what is his position, what is he about, what is he not. They become mixed up about all these things. And if we hear from people like them, then we will join them in the ocean of confusion. That is simply guaranteed. So Srila Prabhupada speaks very strongly in the purport. I'll just read a few sentences. So Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, modern Rakshasas posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctrines have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. So now this term Rakshasa, perhaps you have heard that term before. It specifically means man-eater, cannibal. When we hear that, we think about it. What is that? What does it involve? Then I think we all feel a little shocked. How horrible. Oh, even someone who is in the habit of eating flesh, animal flesh, and they think that is normal, but when they hear about some people who eat human flesh, even they think, oh, this is very bad, this is very extreme. But this is the terminology Srila Prabhupada uses. Modern Rakshasas. There are the ancient Rakshasas, the chief of whom is Ravan himself. He is the Purani Rakshas, something like that. He's the old cannibal. And he tried. He thought, Lord Ram, who is this Ram? He's nobody. He is just an ordinary human being. Just some useless little being. Nothing like me. I am extremely powerful. I am Rakshasa. So, like this, he tried to belittle Lord Ram and discount him and kill him. Yes. Thinking he's just an ordinary person. So, the modern Rakshasas means the so-called intellectuals who study these literatures sometimes and read a bit about Ramayana and Mahabharata and so on, but their minds are elsewhere. Their minds are deeply absorbed under the influence of Maya, illusion. So their idea is the same. Who is this Ram? Who is this Ram? People praise him and glorify him and place him on a high pedestal, but we know better. We are intelligent. We have studied. We have our degrees. PhD, MBA, MAD, and all these things. So we know better. and we will tell you who this Ram is. And they think either he is fairy tale character like Peter Pan, or someone who's just a total figment of some creative writer's imagination, or they think he's some ordinary person whose fans got very carried away about him and built him up. You know, he killed one man, but then the fans say he killed 1,000. He, who was extremely heavily armed, killed one unarmed man. But then suddenly we find he was unarmed. He killed 10,000 heavily armed men. And it becomes a big thing. Or he becomes a big thing. Like when I was a child, really small, there was a song which would come on the radio, not like a pop song, like a family song, about Davy Crockett. Have you ever heard of Davy Crockett? You have? Really? That's interesting. So there was a song, and oh, it was one of my favorites when I was about 3. Davy Crockett was king of the wild frontier. Killed a timber bear when he was 3. I don't think it's very likely. They just, maybe they dropped a 0 off. So anyway, we don't want to get distracted, but the thing is, these modern Rakshasas, who in their own so-called intellectual ways would also like to either kill Ram or discount him or write him off as being insignificant and not worthy of all the glorification he gets. Yeah, they are the modern Ravanas. They are the modern Ravanas. Of course, they cannot stand up and fight against him, but at least within their minds, they fight and they try to influence others. So Prabhupada goes on to say, those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. That's all of you, incidentally. We hope that you'll never accept such notions. You all accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by Tattva Darshi, those who know the absolute truth. A few words there from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Let us now read about, well, this is just a brief description. It's only like 50 or 60 verses, just encapsulating the whole story. Sishinatai Gaura Hari Ki. Okay, so we will read from beginning, I think, with verse 60. I'll just read the translations. Shukadev Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravan. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Now I think that the great majority of you are basically familiar with the story, and you would know that Lord Ram was to become the king. He was the oldest son in the royal family. That was the system. In fact, he was to be crowned the Yuvaraj, means the prince regent, or he's just in waiting to become king. Shortly he's going to become king, just some final preparation period before he takes over. Yuvaraj means like the youth king, something like that. So the day before, one of his father's co-wives, Kaikeyi, she, being influenced by a maidservant who was a real rascal, a real politician, you know, just mean and nasty and always twisting things around and needling people and trying to mess up their minds. So this lady, what was her name? Mantara. She got hold of Kaikeyi and poisoned her mind. Kaikeyi was a very good woman, a great personality actually. But anyone who comes under the influence, like strong influence of very bad association, practically anyone can become contaminated. And that was what happened to her, that this Mantara said that, oh, your son Bharat, he should be king. I know how it works in these families. As soon as this Ram becomes king, he's going to have Bharat killed or kicked out and disinherited. And Kaikeyi became bewildered. And then Mantara reminded her that previously you saved your husband's life in a battle situation, and he said that, just ask me for something, I'll give you whatever it is. You just ask, doesn't matter, I'll give it, whatever you ask for. But then you said, no, it's all right, I'll perhaps ask you later, but it's all right. So she was reminded of that, that you are owed a boon here. So you must now go to your husband and say, yes, you said I could have whatever I wanted when I saved your life, so now I want something. I want my son Bharat to become the king. So, of course, it's an extremely long story. We won't go into all the details, but she did that. And Dasara, the father of Ram and Lakshman and Bharat and Shatrughna, he was forced to agree. He was forced to agree. And along with that, Kaikeyi, on Mantara's suggestion, said, you must make my son Bharat the king, plus you must exile Ram. Send him out into the wilderness, can't come back for 14 years. So this happened. Dasarath, of course, eventually, after a little while, died from separation from his most beloved son, Ram. But Ram, when Ram was told by his father, this was completely unexpected, totally. The day before he's to be crowned as the crown prince, he's told, you're exiled, out, go. Lord Ram did not say, hang on a minute, can't we talk about this? Let's make a deal, okay? No, he just immediately said, yes, fine, good. And he meant it, very good, I'll go. Immediately. This was the honorable, dutiful consciousness of Lord Ram. It was as if, you could say, duty was his god, Something like that. Yes. His responsibility was absolute. No, as they say, flexi speak. That today I say, oh yes, of course, I will do this, I will do that. But then tomorrow I see that it will be disadvantageous to me if I do these things. So tomorrow I come back and say, well, I changed my mind. Flexi speak. No, it was like, well, it is said about Raghunath Das Goswami, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, that his principle, he was so fixed in his principles that they were like lines carved in rock. And when you carve something in rock, then there's no flexibility. That's it. Permanent. So Lord Ram was like that. So he went into exile. Sita went. Lakshman also went. And many years they were out there. Finally, right at the end, there was only a month or several weeks to go. And Ravan, again, it's a long story, but Ravan had heard about Sita and her exquisite beauty, and he wanted her for himself, but how to get her away from Ram, because Ram was there 24 hours a day. So he asked one mystic wizard named Maricha. Maricha or Marichi? Marichi. That you assume the form of a golden deer, very beautiful little golden deer, and you run around in front of Sita and Ram. Sita will become attracted and want you as a pet. She'll tell Ram, Ram will have to chase after you. You lead Ram away. And then I'll grab Sita when Ram has gone away. This was Ravan's plan. And Marichi said, but wait a minute. Lord Ram, he will figure out what I am, that I'm not a deer, that I'm a mystic, and he'll kill me. So I don't think I should do that. And Ravan said, well, look, either you do it and you're killed by Ram, or you don't do it, and I'll kill you right now. Which would you prefer? And Marichi said, well, seeing you put it that way, I would rather be killed by Ram. So he did it, and he was. But in the meantime, Ravan did come, and again, it's another long story, and he kidnapped Sita and took her to Lanka. And he tried to harass her and browbeat her and somehow get her to submit to him. Actually, he had many women. He had many, many women. And the leader of them was Mandodari. And she was a very exalted lady. Not on the level of Sita, but somewhere up there. Very, very special lady, extremely qualified in all respects. But Ravan, his appetite for sense gratification was just insatiable. So he couldn't be happy even with someone like her and many others. When he heard about Sita, he thought, I want her. So he tried and tried to get Sita to submit, but she would not. In the meantime, Lord Ram was trying to locate her, of course. But where to look? So Hanuman appeared on the scene at that time. This is basically where Hanuman appears in Ramayana, just after Sita has been kidnapped. And Hanuman said, you know, he immediately struck up a strong friendship with Lord Ram and with Lakshman, and he said, I'll help you find her. Ram at the time was too distraught in separation. If there's time, we will read some of the verses which he spoke, in which he expresses his separation. So Hanuman didn't want to ask him, what does Sita look like? Give me a description. Have you got a photograph? Didn't have a photograph. Give me a description, please. What does she look like? Didn't want to ask Ram. He was too transcendentally upset. So he asked Lakshman, tell me what she looks like, your sister-in-law, Sita. Lakshman said, I don't know. And Hanuman said, come on, look, I'm trying to help you here. Don't joke with me. Just tell me what she looks like. She's your sister-in-law. You've been with her 24 hours a day for the last 13 or 14 years and some years before that. Just tell me what she looks like. And Lakshman said, I don't know. I don't know. And Hanuman said, well, what do you mean you don't know? How could you not know? And Lakshman said, I've never looked above her feet. And then he gave a very beautiful description of her feet, because he knew her feet very well. Markings, specific markings on the soles of the feet, like a rod for driving elephants, a lotus, and various other markings are there on the soles of the feet of Mother Sita, and markings on the top also. So when Hanuman jumped over to Lanka to try and find Sita, and then he found her in the Ashok Grove, but he wasn't exactly sure, is it Sita or not? Who is this? It could be someone else, because he'd never seen her before. There are different ways in which he ascertained that it is Sita, in fact. And one of them was that he studied her feet, and he saw these are the same feet. There's only one person living who has feet like these. This is Sita. So he identified her. He offered to carry her and jump back and reunite her with Lord Ram. But she refused, because she said, no, I cannot touch another man, even a monkey. Cannot. So he jumped back alone. But before he did, he thought, you know, I cannot leave this place, which is full of my beloved Lord Ram's great enemies. I cannot leave this place without causing at least some mischief. So, and that's also a long story, but eventually he set Lanka alight, set it on fire. First of all, they had to catch him. They caught him. You know, many of you have heard before that there different people were sent to catch him. One of them was a big general from the army, and he confronted Hanuman and asked him, who are you? Hanuman said, I am Hanuman, who are you? And the man was taken aback, and the man asked, well, what are you doing here? And Hanuman said, I am the servant of Ram. And that general, he was also a big demon, he said, Ram, you mean that? And he said many bad things about Lord Ram. And Hanuman didn't like it at all. And he was just going to wallop him. Give him a good Chatsworth, what happened? Or two. But then he thought of another plan. This man was just talking and talking about what he thought about Lord Ram, which was none of which was nice. And Hanuman suddenly felt a great urge, call of nature. He urinated in the man's mouth. And the man was just bewildered. No one had ever done that to him before. People had tried to hit him, shoot him, cut him, but never done that. So he just ran off. But they eventually caught Hanuman. But then he escaped and set the city alight, and it was, oh, big mischief he did. Then he jumped back, and he met Lord Ram, and Lord Ram was aware what had happened. And he asked Hanuman, why did you do that to that man? You know, he was a Kshatriya. You should have fought with him. You're not meant to do things like that. And Hanuman said, I know, but I'm not a Kshatriya. He said, I'm a monkey, and we do things like that. So there was a great build-up, and then off they went to Lanka to fight. So let us now read these few verses, 5 or 6 verses, describing the battle and its conclusion. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son, Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Kumbhakarna was second to Ravana. All these others mentioned in this verse, they're very powerful. Very, very powerful. But Kumbhakarna was next to Ravana, second most powerful. He had a benediction from, if I remember correctly, Lord Brahma, that he could sleep as much as he wanted. I know some people who would like a benediction. And he used to use it. He would just sleep. But sometimes there'd be some big crisis and all these other demons could not help Ravana, but he would call for Kumbhakarna. So they would go in and beat drums and blow on bugles and things by his ears. This is why he's called Kumbhakarna. Karna means ears, and Kumbha means like pots or drums, a type of drum. And then he would wake up and he would be in such an evil mood as people. Anyway, you know, when you wake up, your consciousness is at a low ebb, I'm afraid. But he was in like this horrible state of mind. And he would just grab those people who had been beating on the drums and just eat them. This was his program. And when there was a battle, he'd just run out into the battlefield. He was a monster, a giant. He'd just step on people, groups of people, and just squash them. And then he'd grab handfuls of people and just bite their heads off and throw the rest of them away. Didn't matter what side they were on. Yeah. He was just, you know, a special case. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishnis, shakti arrows, khadgas, and tomahawks. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy, and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus, the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. This is a very interesting point, that Mother Sita is here, the deaths of all these people, millions of them actually, many millions, is attributed to her, that they lost their good fortune and they were killed prematurely because they had offended her and she had cursed them. Well, actually, she had cursed Ravana, and they were supporting Ravana. And just because they were supporting Ravana, they lost all their good fortune, and their lives were shortened. This is a very important thing for ladies to remember, for everyone to remember, that a woman's power is not, you know, as happens nowadays, not that the ladies should take up kung fu, karate, boxing, weightlifting, wrestling, because they do. Oh, definitely. Quite a number. So they can get big muscles, like the big men. And then they can, you know, harm some man, perhaps. But Mother Sita's power was not that sort of power. Her power was in her chastity and her faithfulness and in her moral standards, which were also like Ram's principles, unshakable, inflexible. As a result, all those people lost their lives. She didn't even lift a finger, but she was the cause of their deaths. Such was her power. It's very amazing. You know, there's a story you may have heard. Prabhupada, in his household days, Sri Srinathai Gaura Hari Ki. We'll just carry on a little longer, if that's okay, just a few more minutes. That Srila Prabhupada in his younger days, he was doing business and he would travel around marketing different pharmaceutical products. One day he was on a train. In the same compartment was one young, fairly newly married young lady who was going to the house of her husband. And she was sitting there with a sari on, and with the end of the sari over her head. This is what it is for. Surprise, surprise. For some people. But actually this is what it is for. And then one modern young girl got in the same compartment with her hot rod clothes and, you know, all flashy and all that. And her head was definitely not covered, but probably she had the latest jazzy hairstyle. And she sat down next to the other girl with the sari and started making fun of her. And then at one point she pulled the sari off the girl's head and laughed. And the other girl pulled the sari back over her head and just sat there. A minute later, the modern girl pulled the sari off her head again and laughed. And the other girl just pulled the sari back over her head and just sat there. Third time, the modern girl pulled the sari off her head. And the girl with the sari just turned around and just gave her a full scale what's happened, which just about knocked the other girl's head off her shoulders. And she immediately got up and walked out. And Srila Prabhupada said he congratulated the girl with the sari. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Sri Ramchandra Ki. Very nice. We like this. So yes, Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana in a spectacular way, devastating way, and millions of people died, millions of people. On the side of Lord Ramachandra, millions died, but every night they would bring them back to life. On the side of Ravana, millions died. In fact, he was the only one left. At this point, he was alone. And Lord Ramachandra approached him in the morning before they fought. And Lord Rama said, "Just give me Sita back, and I'll bring all your followers and family and all your people back to life. And I'll make them forget that we were ever enemies. And I'll make them think we were always friends. And we will be friends. And you rule Lanka. You remain king of Lanka. We will rebuild Lanka. You remain the king. I do not want to take it over. You remain the king. And we will be friends. Just give me Sita back. That's all." And Ravana refused. This is called insane material attachment, actually. But Lord Ram, he went to such lengths. Millions died. The entire Lanka was just flattened completely. Everything was destroyed just to rescue Sita. Just one Sita. That's all. Why? Because Sita meant so much to Ram. Their relationship is so deep. The affection between them is actually unlimited. She is his eternal consort and actually his pleasure potency. So Lord Ram felt no price is too high for Sita. We will do anything, literally anything, but we will get Sita back, no matter what the cost is. And he did. He did. So, the question arises, why did Lord Ram do it like that? Why did so many people have to die? Couldn't he have done it an easier way? After all, he is the super soul in every atom. To Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna showed the universal form that he is everywhere, even past, present, and future. So he could have easily rescued Sita without moving an inch. No problem at all. He's God. He's omnipotent. It is not that that was the only way he could do it. There had to be a big battle, and without that he would not have been able to do it. No, he was able to do it easily. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he chose to go through this amazing ordeal. Days of fighting and so many people being killed and so much destruction before he finally rescued Sita. So it was not because he had to, not because it was the only way to do it or the best way. He couldn't find any other way to achieve his goal. It had to be like full frontal assault, just total all-out warfare. And that was the only or the best way, quickest way to retrieve Sita. He could have done it in a split second at any point because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why did he go through all of that? That is just to show us what he's prepared to do for his devotees. He didn't have to do it that way at all, but to show that for his pure devotee, he will do anything, no matter what the price, no matter how difficult, even extreme difficulty, but he'll do it for his devotee. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this we can learn from the pastimes of Lord Ram, and particularly this part where the great battle takes place, and finally, after so much back and forth, and even Lakshman almost died, eventually he kills Ravan and rescues Sita. This is really, we should see it from that perspective, and then it should encourage us to have faith in the Lord also, and trust the Lord, and follow in the footsteps of Sita, and really try to become fully surrendered servants of the Lord. And last thing I'll do, just take 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. In the Ramayana, when Sita is kidnapped, there is the, well, Lord Ram, as we mentioned, he was thrown into a great ocean of separation and lamentation. And there are something like 4 or 5 chapters Sri Srinathai Gaura Hare Ki. There are four or five chapters which are the lamentation of Lord Ram. It's, you know, very extensive, but it all comes to a peak in these verses which I'll read now, in which Lord Ram expresses that mood that no price is too great, he'll do anything. If anyone gets in between him and Sita, that person better watch out. So listen to this. Actually, I read it here before, a couple of years ago, but we can read it again. So Lord Ram is speaking. The austere Sita has been abducted, killed, or eaten. Her virtue did not protect her from being carried away into the wilderness. Since Sita has been devoured or abducted, even the demigods cannot do anything worse to me. Because I am mild-mannered, engaged in the welfare of the world, disciplined and compassionate, surely the demigods think that I am unmanly. Just see how my attainment of these virtues has turned them into faults. But now, shunning all those virtues, my power will now manifest for the destruction of all living beings, including the Rakshasas, as the heat of the sun takes away the coolness of moonbeams. Neither Yakshas, Gandharvas, goblins, Rakshasas, Kinnaras, or men will be able to find any happiness. Watch as I fill the sky with missiles and arrows, O Lakshman. Now I will prevent the movement of the living beings in all three worlds. I shall bring the three worlds to ruination by stopping the movement of the planets, veiling the moon, destroying fire and wind, blocking the light of the sun, smashing mountain peaks, drying up all sources of fresh water, destroying trees, bushes, and vines, and emptying the oceans. If the demigods in charge of this world do not return Sita to me, in a short time they will see my prowess, O Lakshman. Because of the continuous network of arrows released from my bowstring, no creatures will be able to fly through the sky. See how my steel arrows destroy the world, creating confusion and breaking the bonds of propriety, with all beasts and birds devastated or fled away, shooting with full force arrows that cannot be counteracted by any living beings. I shall rid the world of goblins and rakshasas on account of Sita. Today the demigods will see the strength of the arrows I shoot, impelled by anger, and which can strike at a great distance. When my anger flares up against the three worlds, there will no longer be any demigods, demons, goblins, or rakshasas torn to pieces by the flood of my arrows. The worlds of the demigods, demons, and yakshas, as well as of the rakshasas, will cease to exist. If the controlling demigods do not return Sita to me, regardless of whether she's been abducted or is dead, I shall this very day with my arrows dissolve all the boundaries of these worlds. If they do not return my beloved to me in her original condition, I shall destroy all the three worlds of moving and non-moving beings. After saying this, Ram's eyes became as red as copper, and he gripped his bow tightly. Then Ram, the conqueror of enemy strongholds, lifted his bow, took a ferocious blazing arrow like a poisonous snake, and fixed it on the bow, manifesting anger like the universal fire at the end of the world. He said, as much as none of the living entities are capable of warding off old age, death, time, or destiny, it is entirely impossible to counteract me when I am angry. If they do not immediately return my faultless Sita as she was previously, then I shall overturn this world with its demigods, Gandharvas, men, serpents, and mountains. This is divine anger in the mood of divine love for Mother Sita. So, there we have something about the pastimes of Lord Ram. Of course, there's a lot we could have a whole day just dedicated to Ram Lila, but this is all that time permits this evening. So now, what should we do now? We have a few questions. We'll answer a few, yeah? How did the devotees of Lord Chaitanya worship Lord Ram? Well, I think you can guess. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the answer. Lord Ram is there, completely there, sitting. How do we convince some of these intellectuals of the supremacy, or at least the authentic history of Sri Krishna and Lord Ramachandra? Well, that may be very difficult. But I think the best thing to do, if they're really stubborn people of that type, is fill them up with prasadam. Then there might be a chance. Even if they don't turn around immediately, but that prasadam will impact itself on their hearts, and gradually they will come around. Oh well, this is slightly technical. It is understood that Krishna and Balaram are Ram and Lakshman, respectively, but all incarnations like Lord Ram and are expansions from Lord Balaram, or his expansions. How do we synthesize these understandings? Well, thing is, you know, you have slightly misunderstood. Generally, incarnations come from Lord Balaram, but not all. Krishna doesn't, Lord Ram doesn't, Lord Chaitanya doesn't, Lord Narasingadev doesn't. They are directly Krishna himself. Different. They don't come from Balaram. The others, they come from Balaram or through his expansions like this. I'm a police official, just an ordinary being. There came a time in my career where I had to take a life. My actions were justified in an inquest hearing, but from a spiritual perspective, was my action justified? Well, you know, that's hard to say because we don't know all the details of it. If you just sneaked up behind him and shot him in the back, then, well, I don't know. So I don't know, actually. But I would suggest what you should do is chant the holy names. It's already done now. You can't go back and redo it in another way or avoid it or something like that. It's already done. So you just chant Hare Krishna and try your best to serve the Lord and pray for His mercy. What else can you do? There's one of my godbrothers. He's Israeli. His name is Vishnu Dutta. And he fought in, there was some war back in about, I don't know, the late 60s or something like that, between Israel and some of the Palestinian countries, Syria and some of these people. It was only like for a week or so. But he got drafted into the army. He was put on a machine gun, like a heavy machine gun, and he killed many people. Then he became a devotee after that. So he spoke with Prabhupada, and he told Prabhupada that this is what happened. I was on a machine gun. I killed many people. What should I do? Prabhupada just shrugged his shoulders and said, chant Hare Krishna. So, you know, that is sort of like the best answer to many questions. And I think it's the best answer to this one. Here's someone, they say Hare Krishna, they say HK. We understand, we get it. HKTU. Sometimes we see people in our environment or daily dealings who don't have good qualities, and it can be very difficult. How do we deal with such people? Well, only do it if you have to. And if you have to, only do it as much as you have to. Otherwise, get out of their orbit. Yeah. Because, you know, it's sort of like what? Like a magnet. You know what a magnet is like? If something metal gets in its orbit, so to speak, within its range, then zoop, it gets drawn in. The metal was just sitting there, but suddenly it's just drawn in. So we may get just drawn in. If we get bad association, we may just get drawn in, even though we don't want to, even though we know we shouldn't do. That we may find we just get caught up. So keep it to a minimum, only when you have to, as much as you have to, and then get away. And otherwise, give them prasadam also. If there was a lesson to learn from Lord Ramachandra, what would that be? Well, I think, you know, on the positive side, what I mentioned at the end may well be, you know, like, certainly one of the main lessons, how the Lord is committed to his devotee, his pure devotee, to any devotee, but particularly the pure devotees. There are other lessons, but I think, you know, to throw in some others at this point. Maybe on Sunday we can throw in some others. I think let us just conclude on this note. And now we're going to have Kirtanya, or we're going to announce our thing. You're going to announce our thing. We have a little announcement for you. And His Grace Bhakta Pritesh Prabhu will do it. And then we'll have some Kirtan, and then we'll have some prasadam.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I have a really special DVD in my hand here today called the Vrata Mandala Parikrama. And just to give you some bit of background, 5,000 years ago, the whole of Vrindavan forest were Krishna's playground. So 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya also went to all the 12 major forests as well and did Vrata Mandala Parikrama. In the last 5 months as well, Lokanath Maharaj went through these forests and he took a whole month basically going through and seeing these 12 major forests. And in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you how to actually grab this mercy as well. So, we have a 4-disc DVD set here of the Vrata Mandala Parikrama, which Maharaj has so kindly produced. And as you know, it's the same high level of quality that we have. Also quite a nice feature as well is the CDs. If you actually have a look at what the DVD looks like inside, it's actually got a new printing method which gives it the appearance of actually being painted on. This set normally is going to start for 250 rands, but being Ram Navami, we have a really nice special. The limited copies that we have here, the first few that have been created, are available to you for 200 rands. There's a few available downstairs, but I have 5 available here. So the first 5 people can put their hands up can have these 5. Thank you very much. And Murat, yeah, very graciously offered to sign these copies as well. So all the DVDs that's gotten tonight, Murat, are these 5?
Yes, whatever. Whoever wants.
Okay, so whoever can get the DVDs from Murat tonight can get them signed. I'm just going to pass these up.
Okay.
So, devotees, thank you very much. So, like I said, there's a few copies still available. They're available from a table at the bottom. And like I said, you've got... Once the program's finished, you got maybe about 5 minutes to get it before all the DVDs are out. So make the effort and go grab them now. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Sri Siddharam Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Sri Ram Navami Mahotsava Ki.
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for sitting attentively and listening to Ram Katha, wonderfully presented by Maharaj. And I'd like to thank Maharaj for staying with us this evening, celebrating this wonderful festival. Maharaj will leave Durban for another program and then come back